WRKC is proud to present the fourth season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our 35th episode, Genesis.
I sat in my office working on a case. Some woman who needed my help. Nice woman. Worked late nights as a bank teller. She suspected her husband of cheating on her with another woman. Not exactly a high-class case I wanted, but it paid the bills. Didn't really bother me. I had, however, begun to rethink careers in light of what had happened to Marla. She was out of the hospital and made a full recovery. She was working on her own remedial cases. It was great having her back around, but I just couldn't stop thinking about how things would be if I wasn't a private eye, having a simple, calm life with a wife and kids. A quiet life, no chaos or excitement. If I decided to give it all up for a life of peace, what would everyone think? What would Marla think? I heard the phone ring and ring. And ring. Deborah was a great secretary. Cold coffee, missed calls, sarcasm, the best. Deborah, the phone!
All right, I've got it. Hello? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll tell him, okay, bye. Benelli needs you at the station, Harry. I don't know, some case he needs you to look at.
Fantastic. Thanks, Deborah. I noticed that Deborah was already gone to do who knows what. I made my way to the station to see what Spinelli needed. I walked up to the station, running into Marla. Marla, hey, how's... how do you feel?
Better. Did Spinelli call you here, too?
And now my interest was piqued. Why was Spinelli calling us both in? That just didn't make sense to me. Just then, Spinosa rushed by. Spinosa, where's Spinelli?
Harry, Marla, thank God you're here. Hurry, Spinelli is with the commissioner. They need you both right now.
Right then, I knew either Spinosa was on her usual eighth cup of coffee or something was wrong. Spinosa rushed us up to see Spinelli as fast as she could, leading us first to the wrong room, then another, and another. By chance, she stumbled upon the right door, come try number 4. Rogers and the other officers gathered around all sorts of maps and information. What's going on, Spinelli?
Oh, thank God. Harry, Marla, get over here now!
Spinelli, what is it? What's going on?
There's been a bombing.
What? A bombing?
Yeah, post office on the other end of town.
Was anyone hurt? How much of the building was destroyed?
No one was killed, fortunately. Many have been taken to the hospital, and the building was demolished. We suspect it might have been a homemade explosive of some kind, hidden in a package. We need you both to investigate immediately.
This was even more serious than I thought. We quickly left for the site. Marla and I checked out the rubble. Spinelli and his officers believed it was a package, but that just didn't set with me. A package couldn't have the power to bring down a whole building. Marla and I searched the site for any signs of truth in that, or if this was something else.
Did you find anything yet, Harry?
No, I don't see anything out of the ordinary. But really nothing's ordinary about a bombing. Who would do this? And why? Those are the questions I wanted answers for. A post office. What's the significance? The motive?
Harry, over here!
I rushed over to Marla, where workers had moved some of the wreckage. She was examining what looked like the foundation of the building.
Look at this.
I examined the debris and what caught Marla's attention. There were scorch marks on the foundation.
This couldn't have been a package. Someone had to have used dynamite to cause such an explosion.
You're right. Those marks can only mean dynamite. And in that case, I know exactly where we need to go. We were in desperate need of some information on dynamite. More specifically, who deals in dynamite. It's not exactly a typical item you buy at the grocery store. We needed information on all things illegal. Unfortunately, I really didn't have too many ties to the black market. I did know of someone who could help us. But the very thought of it sent shivers down my spine.
Flynn! Marla, good to see you both. How are you, little lady?
Nice to see you again, Murray.
Can I interest you both in some scented candles? After all we've been through, I think I can manage a discount for you. Half off!
All right, Murray, enough with the pleasantries. We need some information.
Candles, huh? Ask away, my boy!
We're not interested in candles, Murray.
But we just got in some new scents. Midnight aura. Sunset orange. Grassy meadow.
Sunrise orange, you say? Wait, no, we have important business to discuss, Murray. We need information. Under the table.
Under the table? No, Harry, I don't deal in that kind of stuff. Not no more.
Murray was sweating like a fattened turkey who was aware of an ever-encroaching Thanksgiving feast. He was holding out. He knew what we wanted to know. But I had a feeling he wouldn't talk. Not without security.
I will not talk without security.
Let's make a deal, Murray. We need information. Information you can provide. You tell us what we need to know, and we don't turn you in. You can stay here and keep selling candles, but only if you cooperate.
Deal. I can't go to jail. Candlemakers don't do well in jail.
All right, Murray, calm down. Have you heard about the bombing?
Oh, yes. Such a tragedy. No one got hurt, though, right?
No, no one was hurt, but we need your help figuring out who did this.
I can't say who did it.
I knew Murray couldn't give us a name, but he could give us some solid information for the case. Where can we get dynamite, Murray?
Oh, I see. You are looking for Caster.
Caster? Who is that and where can we find him?
Caster's a bit of a worm, for lack of a better term. But he knows more about explosives than someone who would know a great deal about explosives.
Caster, huh?
Yeah, Gene Caster. Used to be a demolitionist for some railroad company that went south. Word has it Caster has a lot of explosives left over from those days. If it's dynamite you're looking for, Caster's your guy.
Murray may sound dumb, but he's pretty sharp. He gave us all we needed. He knew if we found Caster, we could find out who was behind the post office bombing. All in all, Murray cooperated better than I thought. To keep from going to jail, he spilled everything we needed to know, including a place we could find him. We alerted Spinelli, and he and a handful of officers left for the gas station, where Murray informed us Caster met his contacts. We walked into the old decaying station, which, if you're keeping score, reeked of rotten timber, some sort of dead animal, and, well, gasoline. And went to the counter. There stood a tall, pencil-thin man working the register. We hoped this was our man.
Gene Caster?
Yeah. Who wants to know?
I heard you could hook us up with a few things that can go boom.
I see. May I ask who referred you?
Murray the Candlemaker. He said you had some surplus you were hoping to unload.
Caster glared at me for a hard minute. Not moving, not blinking, just glaring. I tried to play it off to the best of my ability. Eventually, he broke into an uneasily leering smile.
Ah, Murray, of course. One second.
Caster bolted out the back door faster than a jackrabbit during hunting season. But his efforts were for nothing. The building was already surrounded. We dragged him into the station, kicking and screaming like a 5-year-old. We sat him down and began to interrogate him. Spinelli, in particular, laid into him thick.
Talk! Who did you sell explosives to? Where are they?
Not they, just him.
Caster was cocky at best. His greasy, slicked back hair and thick glasses just screamed sleazy. He was interested in one thing. Money. Caster was selling explosives, all right. Officers managed to confiscate his entire hoard. They said there had been enough to take out a city block. He was a quick one. He knew how to work the system. He knew what we wanted, and he was willing to work with us for a price. I just wondered why he chose a gas station as his venue. Not the smartest thing with explosives and all.
I want to make a deal.
A deal? Sorry, but you're in no position to be making deals, Caster.
Then I guess you don't want information, and I want my lawyer.
We caught you at the scene of your illegal explosive marketing headquarters, Caster. You're going to jail for a long time, but maybe we can cut a year or two off for cooperation.
I won't say another word without my lawyer present.
Caster was a crafty one, but he wasn't as smart as he let on to be. He was one egg short of a full carton, if you know what I mean. Spinelli, why don't you grab a cup of coffee or something? Let me and Marla talk to him.
When?
Trust me. Spinelli left reluctantly, leaving Caster to me and Marla. I sat down in front of Caster. Let's make a deal. Caster looked at me puzzled, but he knew I was serious.
What about him?
He gestured to the door. Spinelli? Oh, don't worry about him. He's a little stressed. You know, with all the bombing and such. Talk to us, we'll help you.
Help me? Why would you want to do a thing like that?
Because, Caster, you really don't have many options. See, we both want the same thing here. You want to get off easy and we need information. We can help each other. He took a second to think it over, his crafty mind working the angles. He knew I was right.
All right. What kind of deal will you make me?
Marla picked up real fast on what game I was playing.
We can make you a deal for 5 years.
I want 3 years and a room with a view.
You've done some bad things, Caster. 5 years is the best we can do, and maybe we can still see about a view.
Believe me, it's a better deal than you'll get from them. Caster thought for a second, but his options were too slim not to take our deal.
All right. 5 years. The guy you're looking for is Clark Smith.
Smith?
Yeah. He bought some dynamite off me a few weeks ago. Paid in cash. Quiet fellow. He lives downtown.
Thanks for the cooperation, Mr. Caster.
Is there anything else?
Yeah. You both should know, I sold him enough dynamite to take out 3 buildings.
What was that?
Oh, sorry. I was just putting on one of my favorite records. Continue.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of Genesis, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, ladies and germs! Have I got a product for you? Don't you hate to wake up to the loud jangling alarm clock of yours?
Oh, damn it.
That's just a horrible way to start your day, isn't it? And I'd be willing to bet you're the kind of person who needs that extra 5 minutes in bed, so what do? You hit the snooze. What's up with that? Well, I have a product that makes you get up out of bed not because you want to, but because you have to. It's the renowned musical duo of Bert Halepin and Gregor McGregor.
It's morning. It's morning. It's morning. And you're still in bed. We won't stop singing till you get your keister out of bed. Out of bed.
Out of bed.
So wake up and smell the coffee, you son of a gun. It's an ugly day out, but I'm sure you'll have fun. We won't stop singing till you get your keister out of bed. Look at Halpern's face. It's getting bright red. So get out of bed. 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 Get out of bed.
That's enough. Thank you. For a short time only, Halepin and McGregor will be doling out their vocal talents for pennies on the dollar. Now even the lowest income homes can wake up to the dulcet tones of Halepin and McGregor's beautifully blended harmonies.
It was so hard waking up every day until the day started with the smooth and relaxing styles of Halepin and McGregor. Now I'm all cheery when I wake up on any day of the week.
Get out of bed.
These guys really work. Tell me worth every penny. Every penny.
I am from Massachusetts, and I approve this product.
Get out of bed.
Get this amazing offer for only 12 payments of $123.45. It's a bargain you can't refuse. It's the duo of Halepin and McGregor. Call now! 1-800-WE'RE-COMPLETELY-BROKE! 1-800-WE'RE-COMPLETELY-BROKE!
Seriously, spend all the money on booze and cheap floozies!
Lord, did we spend it on cheap floozies.
Call now!
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
Marla Spinelli, the officers, and I quickly found Smith. He was held up in his apartment, just like Castor had said. His apartment looked like a trash heap. Litter and old food lied on the floor. Looking around, I realized that rats lived better. The stench of filth and trash was overwhelming. Not even a light in sight, except for a little lamp on his desk. We found the dynamite, but not all of it. Smith was going over some blueprints for a bridge. Back at the station, Castor had been processed.
You know, Flynn, Castor wasn't happy when he found out you and Marla don't have the authority to make deals.
I'll remember that when I interrogate Smith.
Okay. Spinelli just took Smith in. Marla's with him.
I found Spinelli and Marla already questioning Smith. He wasn't talking. He was a smart guy, but a bit off edge. We found the blueprints, Smith, and the dynamite. But we know you had more. Where's the other site?
You ever wonder why life's not fair? How bad things happen to good people? How those who play by the rules lose?
I'm sorry, but we really don't have time to play therapist with you, Smith. We know you had enough explosives for at least 3 different targets. The post office is gone, we have the dynamite for the bridge, but where is the rest of it?
You know what I miss? My blocks. I used to love playing with them. Building castles, bridges, whatever I could think of. I was only limited to my imagination.
If it wasn't clear before, he was crazy. He made no sense. I'm not even sure if he knew what was wrong with him. Except for he was unhappy.
He was right. He was always right.
I took everyone out. We needed to talk.
I'm not sure how much we can get out of this one. The fellow seems off his rocker.
No, Spinelli. He gave us a lot.
What do you mean?
I think Smith's an architect.
What? Are you sure? How can you tell?
The scorch marks. The blueprints. The blocks? Huh? Would make sense.
The scorch marks gave it away. The explosion was placed too well for someone with no knowledge of architecture.
Huh?
He put the bomb where it would cause a big boom.
Oh, well, why didn't he just say that?
Well, what do we do now? We have the guy, but no idea where he placed the third set of explosives.
I wonder if the post office and the bridge have something in common. I mean, if he is an architect, maybe there's something that can single the buildings out.
We need to go back in there. I knew we'd have to talk to Smith again. No matter how painful, we needed something from him. Anything that would lead us to the third location.
You can't intimidate me. He said you'd try.
Who said we'd try?
Later, Marla. We don't have time for that now. Where did you set the third set of explosives, Smith?
What location are you blown up next, Smith?
Your friends?
He was looking right at me and Spinelli.
I had a friend once. My best friend. He took everything from me. My home, my life, my work, my dignity. I'm not crazy, but I had no choice.
No choice? You hurt a lot of people, Smith, and you're going to hurt a lot more unless you tell us where the third location is.
If I told you that, then it's all for nothing, I'm afraid.
Spinelli! Here's the file you asked for, Spinelli.
Ah, good.
What is it?
It's the names of the architects who designed the post office and bridge. Does the name Mikhail Tchaikovsky ring a bell, Smith?
Never mention that traitor to me again!
It was then I realized what Spinelli discovered. Mikhail Tchaikovsky was a Russian immigrant who studied architecture. He got citizenship a few years back, and then unveiled quite a few new and innovative ideas for the city. He had designed both the post office and bridge, or so we thought. Is he the one who stole your ideas, Smith? Was he your friend?
Not anymore. Mikhail stole my blueprints and then passed them off as his own. He needed to be taught a lesson.
So you thought you could get revenge on him by blowing up his buildings? The buildings you actually designed?
Smith was now unresponsive. We'd cracked him. We knew now what his plans were. But how do we stop him?
It's too late, you know. The third bomb will go off. Boom. Then I'll have my revenge, just like he said I would.
Spinelli took us back outside. Smith was lost to us. So into his own world, I don't even think he knew he was in jail. Smith was what I'd call a grade-A nutjob. He didn't care about the people he hurt so long as he got his revenge on Tchaikovsky.
Marla, Flynn, we got what we needed. The third location will be one of Mikhail's, but I don't know any off the top of my head.
I do.
Well?
It's the new bank.
Spinelli immediately called for officers. They had to go, and now. Marla rushed to join them. Let me go, Marla. I need you to stay here and question Smith some more. My gut tells me there's more going on to this.
No, Harry. You stay, then I'll go.
But...
No buts, Harry. We know our places. You need to question Smith. I'll go help the officers.
Okay, fine. Go. Marla ran out with the officers to stop the bomb. But I had a feeling that there was more to this than meets the eye. Smith had to be working for someone. I wanted to know who.
You'll never reach him in time.
Don't worry about that. They'll get there in time. And even if they don't, the building is already being alerted to evacuate. You won't claim any innocent lives, Smith.
We knew there would be casualties, but they never mattered. It was the message we wanted to send across.
Which is?
Actions have consequences, Flynn. He stole everything from us. He needed to be taught that what he did was wrong. Like a 5-year-old in time out.
How did you pay for the explosives, Smith? Castor said you paid him in cash. There's no way you'd come up with enough money to pay Castor for the dynamite. Who fronted the cash?
A private investor who understands my pain. Who knows what it's like to have everything taken away and knows how to get it back.
At that moment, Rogers and some officers burst through the door. Help you, gentlemen?
We are taking Smith in to be processed.
But I haven't finished my interrogation yet.
Take it up with Murdoch.
You can't do this.
Yeah, he can, Flynn. We got word, too. The bank is cleared out, and the officers and Marla are looking for the bomb. So Murdoch and Rogers have the word to process Smith. Case closed.
No, not case closed. I was too late, though. The officers were already carrying Smith out.
He told me this would happen, too. And then he'd rescue me. He'll save me. Okay, nut job. Let's go. Good work, Flynn. Nicely. Whatever.
I walked with them. They had to see reason in this. There was more to this than Smith made it out to be. It wasn't just a simple bombing. Someone else had to be pulling the strings. I knew I'd have to get a hold of Murdoch. To clear this all up, we got outside when a shot was fired. Smith dropped to the ground while the officers lifted up their guns. No one was around.
It must have come from one of those windows.
Search them!
The officers dispersed, heading to the apartment complexes across the street. Now what? There went my lead. I saw Spinelli walking up to me.
Flynn, come with me.
Spinelli took me back to his office where we could talk in private. He sat me down in his office chair and turned to face me. When he did, I noticed his eyes looked a little glossy.
We just heard back from the bank.
Oh, good. All the people make it out?
Yes.
Did the officers make it there in time?
Yes.
Were they able to disarm the bomb?
No.
What?
They arrived on the scene just in time to get everyone out, but when they found the bomb, it went off. The building was lost.
Were any officers hurt?
We lost 3. And,
And what?
The blast.
Yeah?
Marla was in the blast range.
Is she all right?
No, Harry. Marla's dead, Harry.
Oh, sorry. I hit the record again. I love this song.
I stayed at the bar that night. For the whole night, if I remember right. Just sitting there. What if I had gone instead of her? I should have told her to stay and interrogate Smith. It should have been me. Not her. Not Marla.
Here, Harry.
Just throw it on my tab, Ben.
Not tonight, Harry. Drinks. Drinks are on me.
I sat there staring at the glass Ben left in front of me. I couldn't bring myself to pick it up. I wanted so much more for her. For us. A psycho did this. I lost her to a man who wanted revenge on another. A man who didn't care who he hurt to do it. A man willing to kill all the innocent people who got in his way. And now we can't even pay for what he did. Where's the justice in that? What now? What do I do? One thing's for sure. I remember why I do this. Why I became a private eye. It was to help people. No matter how remedial or influential the case, I wanted to help the innocent, and I will. For everyone. For Marla. Marla.
This week's episode, Genesis, was written by Samuel Groom and Christopher Gatpo. Our cast today was Brandy George as Deborah and Officer Spumosa. Christopher Gatpo as Clark Smith, Commissioner Rogers, Ben, Kyle, and Massachusetts Man. DJ Nat as Harry Flynn and Gregor McGregor. Drake Nestor as Gene Castor and Commercial Announcer. Jennifer Momenzada as Marla and Susan. And Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Officer Spinelli, Murray, and Bert Halpin. With Samuel Groom as Random Officer. Theme for The Adventures of Harry Flynn, composed by Michael Wall and David Tomasacci. As performed by Michael Wall on piano, drums, and trumpet. Terrence Karn on accordion, and Luis Obergon on viola. With sound engineering by Michael Wall. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook for all of your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of previous episodes.